Okay, today is the last day of Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. It is the fifth of February, Lamed Shvat, and we're up to Mefarshim Day Perek Yud Zion here. So, so again, this is the aftermath. The end of Tes Zion ends with the group falling into a pit and 250 people being burnt up. And now we're in the aftermath. So the first thing that Moshe is told is collect those pans of the Kohanim, of the people that offered those korbanos, and flatten them and make them part of the Mizbeach. So I didn't see anything about what was the Mizbeach like before that. There already were things used that. Maybe we'll see that later on. But why was that necessary? Why couldn't they just take these and just throw them in? So Rashi makes the comment, Hamachtos, V'heimasur b'hamashik far asum klishar. So they already made into klisharis. So there's only a big problem with that is it was wrongly made into klisharis. That people were they were offering an Eshzar, they were offering outside the base of Mikdash. Why does that automatically declare that it qualifies as a kli shari? So the Ramban answers. So Ramban says, "V'lo yadati tamlis." I don't know why it should be aser. Shri Gatorah zari kru v'zar shasa kli shari lahakri b'chutz be'iser einu mikdash. And the he seems to be saying a halacha here that if a non kohen makes a kli shari in order to offer korbanos outside the base of Mikdash, so that's double jeopardy, right? He's not a Kohen, it's outside the base of Mikdash. So why should there be any sanctity with these fire pans? So continues the Ramban and says, Avayesh Lomar ki bavur sha'asu kein al pi Moshe hayukodesh. He says, yeah, but they were commanded to do it by Moshe. Moshe said, go ahead and do this. Ki heim hikdishu osam l'shamayim, v'shachashu shiyano osam elukim be'esh v'tiyena hamachtos ha'ila kisharis bo'al mo'id li'olam. And when they were makdashit, they had in mind that, oh, I'm doing what Hashem did, and Hashem is going to answer me. They all thought they were going to win. They didn't think that they were going to die. So A, Moshe's command said that they should do it, and Moshe said, and then we'll see who's... So, and they're thinking that they're going to win. So therefore, it is... therefore, it would claim the Kedusha in that way. And the Ramban concludes by saying, that I was Makdashit. So, in a way, there's three answers here. Rashi, there's two answers that the Ramban is giving. One is to explain Rashi. Rashi says, well, they're Hektish. Ramban says, why should they be Hektish? Why should they be considered sanctified? Well, Moshe commanded it, and they had in mind that we're doing the right thing. So, therefore, it's Kadosh. And then he says, but I really think the answer is that Hashem was Makdash. Hashem says, I'm hereby being Makdash these things in order for it to then be a sign for B'nai Yisrael. And it wasn't really about the offer, which is totally different than Rashi. It wasn't about the avoda that was done with it. It's just, okay, now we have these pans. Hashem says, make them Kodesh that they will be used as a sign going forward. Okay, so that is issue number one. Issue number two, concerning to Pasuk Vav. So in Pasuk Vav it says, "Vayilonu kol adas b'nei Yisrael mimacharas al Moshe v'Aaron lemor atem hamisim asam Hashem." That they murmured the kol adas b'nei Yisrael, all of them, literally or not literally, but certainly many, many of them, complained against Moshe and Aaron, saying that you're causing the nation of God to die. Right? So this is a pretty big claim immediately after the fall of Korach. When we think about the fall of Korach, that after Korach, well, the fall, right, he falls into a pit, and everybody turns and says, ah, Moshe's in charge, and Moshe should have totally built up his, his coalition, and if he had any doubts, he should just call for new elections and officially become and be clear to everybody by vote that Moshe's in charge. But that's not what happens, right? There's this whole parak here of the people of B'nai Israel continuing to complain against Moshe, which is pretty striking. So what are they arguing about here? So Rashi doesn't say. Rashi doesn't say. But comes the Ramban and says, well, Omar Unklus, Asun Garamtun Demis Amada Hashem. What does that mean? Ki Asimu Sam Al Shinasnu Ha'itza Hazos Lahakhtir Gitoris Zaralifni Hashem. They turn to Moshe and say, whose dumb idea was it that these guys are all going to offer Gitoris? Let's see. Let's play back the tape. Who's the one who thought of this idea to offer Gitoris? It was Moshe. Ah, Moshe knew that they were going to die. Moshe, why are you causing all these people to die? Right? Says, why couldn't Moshe have just done the stick thing? Now, they didn't know about the stick thing yet. That's going to come at the end of the parak. But Moshe could have done plenty of other things to demonstrate that he's the leader without causing these 250 people to die as a result. So that's Uncle suggests that that's their complaint. They're complaining against Moshe. You understand that you're in charge, but was there really a reason to be so dramatic about it, such that people die as a result? Just do some other type of magic trick or God trick that will demonstrate that you're the one in charge and that we're not. That would have been much better. So that's answer number one, which the Ramban suggests from Unklus, or based on the commentary of Unklus. Continues on and says, Rabbi Avram Amar, who's that? That's Ibn Ezra. Suggests Ma Raya Zusha Shevet Levi Nifchar for Nifchar Aaron the Kohen Gadol. He says, we're very impressed. But what proof did you bring that Aaron is the one chosen, that a Levi is chosen to be the top tribe, and that Aaron was chosen? You haven't brought any proof to that. That could be that through your tefillah, you knew that they were all going to die. And Ibn Ezra continues on and says, that explains the next story. I mean, why do we need this whole thing with the sticks? Well, what was the point of that? Didn't we prove? Wasn't the whole point of the Ketores and the whole point of the ground opening up to prove that Moshe should be in charge and that every says goes? So Ibn Ezra says, no, it didn't prove it. It just proved that those guys were not going to be in charge. Right? It just proved that Korach is out of the picture. Those 250 people are not going to be involved. It didn't prove anything positive about Moshe, Aaron, or the Levium. So therefore, he needed this next trick later on in the, I keep calling it a trick, but this next simon, the next sign that appears later on in the parak, in order to make those points. Right, and that's why the Ibn Ezra continues on and says, he says, and that in fact explains why that explains why the people were only complaining about the... I skipped a section here, let me just make sure. Yeah, he says, what about this whole thing with the Sreifa, with the burning of the Ketores, and Aaron, that should demonstrate that Aaron should be in charge. So the Ibn Ezra continues on and says, that's not a proof, or that didn't serve as a proof. All that proved is that you can't offer a Ketores outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, well, why did Aaron survive? Because Aaron offered it inside the Beis HaMikdash. What was everyone brought Ketores that day, right? 250 people bring a Ketores plus Aaron. The 250 people are offering Ketores outside the Beis HaMikdash, and Aaron's offering Ketores inside the Beis HaMikdash. So they're saying, it's no trick. It doesn't prove that Aaron was chosen. It just proves that whoever is the guy inside the Beis HaMikdash offering the Ketores, he's the one that's chosen. But that's not necessarily a proof that Aaron is going to be in charge. So, and you knew that, or maybe it just means that it was something you knew that Aaron would be successful in that way, and this week you're going to cause everybody else to be burnt. The Loi Satuluna Rakal Hasreifa. And Lo Alablia. And that's why their complaint was only regarding the burning and not with regarding the swallowing. They're not complaining that Korach or certainly his children or Dathan and Aviram were swallowed up. They're just complaining about this. That's why the focus has turned to this burning issue, because that's nothing has been proven from that, right? With the ground opening up, there Moshe said, let's have something that never appeared before. So something happened that never appeared before. So all right, Moshe's in charge against the complaints of Dathan, Aviram, and Korach. We get that, but that Aaron should be in charge? That mode of death has happened before, right? Who did it? Right, Dathan and Aviram. Right, so not Dathan and Aviram, Nadav and Avihu. They already died in that way, so that's not going to prove anything. So that's Ibn Ezra's pshat, and then the Ramban concludes by saying, "V'hanachun beinai." But I think the most correct is Shayu Amma Minim Ata Bekahunas Aaron Shekvar Yatsa Eish Lifnei Hashem V'Tochal Es Korbanosav. No, the people already did really believe in Aaron. Why? Because at the conclusion of the building of the Mishkan, a fire comes down from Shemayim and consumes the korban of Aaron. Right, so that shows that that's pretty impressive, right? Aaron is going to be established. But what had not been decided? That the Levim are going to be in charge rather than the Bechorim. They want the Bechorim to be in charge. They did this switch before, but the people didn't want the switch. It wasn't something that they desired. Yes, it was done, but you know, it was somehow done against their will. But they had tainas, they had complaints against that. Right, and that's why their complaint was specifically about the Ketores. Right, what was their complaint? So we don't want to be the Kohen. We don't want to be the Kohen Gadol. We know that Aaron is going to be the Kohen Gadol, etc. We want to be Levim. So Shkaya, so you prove that we're not going to be Kohanim because of this Ketores fiasco. Fine. We didn't want that anyways, right? We just wanted the Levi status. Now, I feel bad for those 250 people that went through on the for the Kohen test when really the only they were looking for was the Levi test. But that was their as their complaint. So three pshatim come out as to what their complaint was in Pasuk Vav. Number one, Unklus' suggestion that Moshe gave them the suggestion to bring the Ketores, knowing full well that they were going to die from it. They never had a chance. The Ibn Ezra's suggestion that that Moshe knew that Aaron was going to be okay because he was offering the regular Ketores inside the Kodesh, inside the Mishkan, as opposed to them who were outside. And then you have the third idea of the Ramban here, that they believed in the Kahuna. That they believed in the Kohanim, and they were just complaining about the Levim. So they were upset that Moshe was challenging them on the Kohen issue and not challenging them on the Levi issue.
Where do you get that Aaron gave the Ketores inside?
Where do you get that he didn't?
Because it says that they all stood together.
Where did it say that? Okay, Moshe and Aaron were there for that. Moshe was there. Moshe didn't offer a Ketores.
No,
so what's Moshe and Aaron doing there at that point?
But they were all at the entrance of the meeting to give the Ketores.
Not necessarily. What? It could just mean that Aaron did his inside, and then Moshe and Aaron came outside to watch the proceedings.
There's nothing in the text that leads one to believe that.
There's nothing in the text that they did. The only thing in the text that leads one to believe that is this issue of Vayilona. What are the people complaining about?
Well, I understand.
Okay, so he's coming up with an answer to explain this complaint.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so now we have in Pasuk Yud, so Hashem says to Moshe, saying, alright, Hirom mitochai dazos, so get out of this nation. Now, the language is different from before. I didn't see anyone who addressed that before he said, Hashem told Moshe to hibadlu mitochai haidazos, right? It also means separate, hibadlu havdala, separate from this nation. And here it's Hiromu, which sounds like the language of Truma, which also is a language of separating. I'm not sure what the difference is between the two. But the Ramban also adds in, he says, V'lama havinosi tama kasuva zev, v'chavru l'mala, what it said before, hibadlu mitochai dazos. That Hashem has the ability to cause a few people to die and not others, right? Why can't Hashem just strike down the people who deserve to die and not other people? Again, Hashem's complaint is separate from this nation, remove yourself, because I'm going to consume them. So why did he have to remove himself? Just let Hashem consume them, and everything, and Moshe could stay where he is.
What they're saying is Hashem doesn't seem to have the power to do things that they're mixed.
Well, we did have that. Where did we have that before? Rahu lavas v'nishar kasher haya b'bechori mitzrayim. The Ramban says in Egypt, that's what Hashem did. In Egypt, Hashem went and was able to figure out who's what. I think in last Pesach we discussed the Shabbos Hagadol drasha, the issue of the of Hashem bechodu v'atzmo versus the mashchis versus the destroyer, but Hashem himself bechodu v'atzmo, that was the Aruch HaShulchan's pshat, and explained that Hashem bechodu v'atzmo had the ability to figure out who was who, and there were some Egyptians that had their kids sleeping over in Jews' houses that night, so for those houses Hashem went in himself and made sure to take out the ones who were who were Egyptians and deserved to die. So Hashem has that ability, so why does Moshe have to separate himself?
Ram is going
to
swallow them up. Ram is going to swallow them up, and if you're standing on that ground.
Okay, so he answers Venera. So Ramban answers, She haketzef yosi lahamiz gam kolei da kamisas hachatoyim ha'ilish shim shachar achareim. That the anger was that he was going to cause the entire congregation to die with the opening of the land, or a fire that's going to come out, or these types of makos kolos, consuming makos, where it will kill everybody together. Unless Hashem does a specific miracle for individuals, it will cause a destruction of the entire people, and that's just what's going to be. So therefore Hashem has to, therefore he would have to separate it. Or Hashem was saying that he's giving honor to the tzaddikim, so long as the tzaddikim are with them, Hashem's not going to cause them any damage. So Hashem is telling them to separate, A, because, yes, it's true, Hashem has the ability to only kill some and not others, but not necessarily, but he doesn't always do it that way. There are plagues, there are plagues that are imposed upon the people where everybody is consumed, even those that perhaps don't deserve to be. I believe that's actually I didn't look up the Gemara itself, I believe that that's the story about wearing tzitzis on a regular sort of proactively putting on a garment. The Gemara talks about that there's a plague amongst the people and everyone's going to die. What about those people that didn't sin? So the Gemara responds by saying, yeah, well, they had the ability to wear tzitzis and they didn't. What do you mean? There's no obligation to wear tzitzis. The mitzvah is that if you're wearing a four-cornered garment, then there's a mitzvah to put on tzitzis on the corner. So yeah, it's such an easy mitzvah to do, so you might as well go ahead. So you should go ahead and do it. The fact that you're not doing it is demonstrating some sort of objection to it, which therefore would be worthy of punishment. So perhaps that's what's going on here as well. Hashem says that I'm going to go destroy. When I'm destroying a lot, there's other people that get destroyed as well, perhaps that aren't fully deserved of being destroyed. That's possibility A. Or possibility is that it's not honorable to the tzaddikim that they should see this destruction that's going to take place, and therefore Moshe and Aaron turn the other way, and I'm going to go now and take care of the people that you have left. But really, the Ramban concludes, the Kavad really is that you better start asking for tshuva. Right? Hashem says, separate from these people, I'm going to destroy them. The response of Moshe is, okay, well, you can't do that, I'm going to daven on their behalf. That's the response, and that's how the Ramban really concludes. And that's what happens. Moshe right away turns around and davens on their behalf. That's a little odd to talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu that way. You know, like it's a parent saying, if you don't be quiet in that back seat, I'm turning this car around, we're going right home. Alright, so the parent doesn't necessarily have any intention of doing so. But you say in order to achieve a result. So it's a little odd to say that about Hashem, right? That Hashem is saying something which he doesn't necessarily have an intention of doing in order to achieve a result. That's a little bit of a jump, but that seems to be what the Ramban is saying at the end of this session. Yeah? Any?
I thought maybe he was trying to. There's two things for Hashem. Do all he does for education, so to speak, to teach people what to do.
Hashem does it for education, okay. Good. He's educating.
Yeah,
he's educating. I'm telling them I'm about to kill them unless you do something. Okay. All right.
Educating Moshe how to be a leader, man, because it's not. With Jews, it's not easy, since the Jews are so volatile, mercurial. You need a little help to understand.
All right. So yesterday we quoted this. We quoted this vort from the Lubavitcher Rebbe regarding his pshat in Rashi. The Rashbam, however, it seems disagrees with Rashi. So what's going on here? So in Pasuk Chav Gimel, It says they put the staves in, and in Vayhim Acharas, it was the next day. Vayavo Moshe el Olam Oyidus, v'nei Parach Matei Aaron the Beis Levi. And behold, the staff of Aaron from the Beis Levi had bloomed. The first point that both of those, that the Aaron section of the staff of Levi was blooming, indicating that Aaron is now the...
Oh, an extra.
That, right, it was proving two things at once. Okay, not everybody agrees to that, but that's the idea. Vayotzi Perach, and the buds came out. Vayotzi Tzitz, and the blossoms were blossoming. Vayigmol Shkedim, and the nuts were forming. So continues on. So Rashi makes a comment with Vayotzi Perach Kimashmo, like is the pshat, like what it sounds. So what was Rashi adding with that? So we quoted yesterday from that flowering or budding could mean two things. It could mean literally budding, or it could mean flowering. You know, Rishis Michas Gulasenu, the beginning flowering of our redemption. Something like that. Not necessarily a literal idea of flowering. So comes the So Rashi is coming to tell you, no, Vayotzi Perach is literally flowering, as opposed to this homiletic, I don't know if that's the right word, but as opposed to this other, you know, flowering in a more flowerly language. Yeah. So why did Rashi feel compelled to say that? So the Rebbe suggested, because earlier in the pasuk it already says that they were flowering. Right? So earlier in the pasuk talks about flowering in general, and Vayotzei Farach is talking about later on a literal flowering of the staffs. So comes along the Rashbam. The Rashbam seems to not agree with that assessment. So this is the Rashbam. Nira lefi shapshat kishotziu Moshe matzu shaparach v'lo yoser. It seems like the explanation is that when Moshe first came to get the staff, all he saw was some flowering, but nothing more than that. As it says, "V'nei perach mati Aaron," the flowering of the staff of Aaron. By the way, there's a Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Sefer on the Rambam, at least on Sefer Mada, I think is the only volume he came out with. That's the name of the title. That's the name of the book, Perach Mata Aaron. That's the title of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Sefer. So, anyways, Aval Acher Kain Vayatzi Tzitzli Nekol Aaron VaAcher Kain VaYigmol Shkedim. And then afterwards, these buds came out in front of all the Jews, and afterwards the Shkedim came out. Shekain Hu Ainyan. And that's how you understand this. Techila, because of a fair seilin, shim kol hayivavas achas in kain kishotzi emotion nigmar kol usan inyan. And that only makes sense because if it already was flowered when it came out, so this was all done already. So what does it mean that like it flowered and then this and then that? Right? It should have just said, well, and there are almonds budded on it. So it must be that it took place in front of everybody. So that's when, and they wouldn't have seen the precha or the nitza. So therefore, it only makes sense to say that the flowering took, it flowered, and then when they took it out, it continued to flower and bud and have the shkedim come out. A little bit of a different pshat, or what he's picking up on from the Rashbam, between Rashi and his grandson, the Rashbam. And then on this last section here, Hashem tells Moshe to put the staff of Aaron away, or in the Kodesh. It's how it could be a sign if nobody's ever going to see it there. I didn't see any discussion about that. But this last thing of the people then complaining, I am Reuven, Israel, Moshe Lemor, Hein Gavanu Avanu Kulanu Avanu, that we're all going to die. Right? Kol Kareva Kareva, Mishkan Hashem Yamus, Im Tamnu Ligvoa. That anybody who comes close to the Mishkan is going to die. Are you all going to wholly, entirely perish? So, what is that complaint? What exactly is the argument? Right? Just don't do it. Right? Just don't go where you're not supposed to go. So, the Rashbam points out, we're going to die regularly. Whoever comes is going to come too close. That all the people who come to the Mishkan to Whoever comes along with the Levim, they're going to die. Shadayin lo hasher b'makadosh baruch hu, shadayin lo nitla v'zakar v'imas. So what has it not yet been written? What pasuk has not yet been written? Hazar hakarev yumas. The czar who comes close is going to die. So people are complaining, we're all going to die if we come too close, and we don't see, we haven't gotten a prohibition in coming too close yet. So ulakach, says the Rashbam, whom has here a parsha zu, v'zar yoli krabba aleichem. So therefore, comes the Rashbam, says, what do you see in a couple psukim? These prohibitions then come into play. The pasuk of azar shall not come close, and hazar hakarev yumas, guess where those psukim are found? In the next parak. That's the answer. The people come and say, the rules about engagement in the Mishkan are so unclear. We're all going to die. To which the response is, oh no, here are the rules, and if you follow them, you're not going to die. That's the response of the Rashbam. Shafilu Parshas Emor al Kupas, even in Parshas Emor, previously in Vayikra, all it said there was, the Ver al Ron Limor, Ish Mizarach Ladar Samashir Yebo Mum Lo Igash Lakrib Lechem Elohav, Sham Lo Peset Lo Pasal, El Bali Mumin, Abal Zarim Lo Pasal. That all it said in Parshas Emor was, the Kup. All it offered was, all it said there was that the Kohanim, that the Kohanim who are Bali Mumin and the Kohanim that are Pasal, they're not allowed to offer Karbanos. It never said that a Zar is allowed to offer Karbanos. That only appears in the next Parsha. So while to us it seems like, oh, people say, oh, we're all going to die, and the Perek ends, and it seems like they're ending without a resolution, the Rashbam says it's a very clear resolution. The clear resolution is that Hashem responds by telling them the halachos that they're going to have to follow in order to ensure that the correct boundaries are upheld in the Mishkan. Okay. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up with something else. Point two.